The Omicron storm is coming and you need to have an action plan. So let's turn it over to Dr. Ari Sement, who joins us once again.
There's been a discussion as to which monoclonal antibody to use if somebody gets COVID. So now that they're really drying up in these monoclonal antibody sites, best thing you can do if you have any of the risk factors is to get the infusion as soon as possible against the Omicron variant. The one that works has been notably sotrovimab. So the question is, should you try to get sotrovimab or should you get the Regeneron infusion? A lot of places are getting flack for using Regeneron because the predominant strain is supposedly Omicron. What is fascinating is that we're seeing more and more that the Omicron is less severe, and there is actually a higher percentage of Delta variant than we originally thought. The dilemma is, should you take Regeneron, which is stronger against the Delta variant, or should you take the sotrovimab, which gives you coverage against the Delta, maybe not as good, but it also covers Omicron?
I'm going to repeat that back to you to make sure that the listeners understand what we're talking about here. The CDC made an announcement earlier this week that the percentage of COVID cases that are Delta is much higher than they thought versus Omicron. Something like 75% of cases nationwide are Delta and not Omicron. Omicron's growing, but it's still predominantly Delta. It turns out that Omicron is much less risky in terms of hospitalization than Delta. So the more dangerous Delta is the one we need to worry about. Ari, which monoclonal is best against Delta?
Regeneron. I think the overall major point that I would make is that if, let's say, you've had only two vaccines, you haven't had your booster yet, and then you got COVID, you could have a significant breakthrough infection. And so instead of sitting around and doing nothing, saying, oh, we don't have sotrovimab, so why bother? I would actually, especially if you have risk factors, you're older than 65, I would push to get the Regeneron, which is going to cover 30 to 40% chance that I have the Delta. The caveat is, I think in different locations, the Omicron probably has a higher percentage. Like, I believe South Florida probably has a higher percentage of Omicron than in other places in the United States. But still, we don't know the numbers. So you have to imagine that you have the Delta.
Ari gave me a chart that I will make available on the transcript of today's program. The chart illustrates the response function of each of the various monoclonal antibodies to the different COVID variants. The experiment takes blood and bodily fluids that contain the COVID variant, and then in a lab setting, they combine the monoclonal antibodies with the variant, and they see the scale of the response function.
Right.
Ari, how do you interpret the monoclonal antibody results?
The lowest possible number means the most effectiveness of this antibody, right? So, for instance, Regeneron 10933 versus the Delta is going to have a 0.0009, whereas sotrovimab has a 0.2188, which is many fold higher than that number of Regen 10933. So it's not as effective.
Mm-hmm.
All those numbers are greater than 10. That's essentially saying that
it's worthless.
In a petri dish, it's worthless. It's not really doing anything. Whereas if you look at sotrovimab, 0.0950, sotrovimab certainly has activity against the Omicron. But, you know, jury's still out because we don't know 100%, but it does seem that the Omicron typically is less severe. So the Omicron, if it comes, it goes, and boom, you're done. I think a better question is, what do you do if you got COVID and you're asymptomatic and you feel fine? So I've had this happen many times already. And if somebody has risk factors and they know it's a new positive test, I do push for them to get the monoclonal because of the fear of the cytokine storm later on. I've had some cases they didn't take the medicine because they felt it's fine, and then they were sick later on.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of tempered, got through it with a little steroid and it was fine, but I'm just saying, like, it can happen. The other interesting thing that's come up is whether or not you should take the BAM atezolizumab combination, because that's the other one, the Eli Lilly drug, and it's been sort of out of favor too. And the answer is yes, you should take it because that will cover the Delta variant. So some of these concierge practices are running out of Regeneron And now they're telling the patients, hey, you know what? We have this other one, BAM atezolizumab combination. You could get this. Are they doing the ethically correct thing? And the answer is yes, because their motivation is to cover the delta variety, which is accomplished with that drug.
Let's imagine you test positive for COVID. Is it Omicron or is it Delta? Is there a test we can do individually to know which COVID variant we have on a rapid basis?
No. It's basically done by departments of health. They take a random sampling of county and they decipher what the percentage is. Another interesting thing, Larry, if you go especially to a lot of concierge practices, you have acute COVID, they will charge for, you know, either giving you the monoclonal antibody because they have it, but they'll also give you medicines like Zithromax, vitamins. They'll give you sometimes infusion of normal saline. But one of the more interesting things that a lot of the places are giving is fluvoxamine.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Fluvoxamine is an antidepressant. It's an SSRI, and it has been studied, actually positive trials. I believe the dose is something like 100 milligrams three times a day, and it's for 10 days. And I've treated many, many, many patients with COVID. I sort of shy away from it, even though I believe in it and I believe it works. And I've seen anecdotally patients who've been on SSRIs who have not developed severe COVID pneumonia. And I think it's thought provoking. And in years from now, I think it will probably be a treatment for flu and other viruses. That being said, you have to take into account you're putting on a medicine that is three or four times the normal dose for anxiety and depression, and there could be significant side effects. I think it's safer to give a one-time infusion of monoclonal than to be, you know, using this fluvoxamine right now. If you are in a third world country or somewhere else, you know, let's say you're going on a trip somewhere, I think it is a reasonable thing to consider taking or having available is a possibility. And you could look up the data. It's fluvoxamine, 100 milligrams TID three times a day for 10 days. As far as Zithromax, there are some studies showing anti-inflammatory properties, but there's no rip-roaring amazing study as with ivermectin and Zithromax. A lot of the concierge practices are using all of them in combination.
A number of my friends went on vacation overseas, and many of them are coming down with COVID as soon as they land. Maybe it's a good idea to bring some COVID medicine along. Last time when we spoke, you recommended a Z-Pak. Should we bring a Z-Pak or any other medications with us, especially if we're going to a developing country that does not have easy access to medicines?
I don't even know the legality, honestly. Are you allowed to prescribe medicine prophylactically? I don't know.
Can you get Z-Pak over the counter?
Z-Pak is not over the counter. It's a prescribed medicine, but we do give it to, you know, patients that are going away sometimes, you know, if there's a lack of medicine in the country that they're going to, that's reasonable. The legality, I don't know about like prescribing, which I haven't, like fluvoxamine. Oh, just in case you get COVID, here's 100 TID of fluvoxamine. So that's an interesting question. Are you allowed to do that? Just like, are you allowed to take, Regeneron with you? You know, you buy it. I would probably take a Z-Pak and definitely a steroid stash.
All right. So what steroid would you bring on your trip? Would you bring that DEXA?
I would bring a prednisone. I would bring like 20 milligrams, a 30-day supply just to have available. I think it's reasonable. I would want to have access to that in a third world country.
When I was in the hospital with COVID, Ari, you prescribed me zinc, vitamin D, melatonin, and some other drugs. Now, that was a year ago now. What do you think of those drugs now?
Zinc actually was studied, and it was a negative trial. Melatonin had some definite antiviral activity, but it also
didn't make the cut.
A very good resource for anybody listening. Actually, I don't work for them, but the medical letter, they provide free of charge. You could see a table. What I like about it is it goes through the evidence of everything that has been out there. Vitamins, zinc, Zithromax, fluvoxamine, even the vaccines. They do a great job. And you could be as knowledgeable as Dr. Ari Cement.
Yeah, that I don't believe. Let's say you're 55, fully vaccinated with the booster, but I'm still showing some symptoms. What do you recommend that I do next?
You should rest assured that you're going to be okay. And by the guidelines, you really don't meet the criteria for the monoclonal. However, in a perfect world, like we were a month ago when it wasn't an outbreak, Ari Cement would advise you to get the monoclonal, figure out a way to get the monoclonal. But in a pandemic where it's limited resources and you have to go by the guidelines, then, you know, you'll be okay.
Let's change the facts. I'm unvaccinated.
Unvaccinated, you need to figure out a way to get that monoclonal right away. But you also have a different avenue. Right away, you could go on online and go clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
Regeneron versus another polyclonal antibody, and you can get it and get paid for it too.
Love it. And then double vaccinated with a booster over 65.
For the very, very rare occurrence that you could get sick, I would still push for monoclonal. Anytime, just to modify your question, if that guy was under 65 and 40 or 30, even 25, but had a BMI greater than 25 or 30, I would also push for the monoclonal. In other words, if you have any of the risk factors, BMI, diabetes, hypertension, I would push for trying to get the infusion. The benefits far outweigh the risks.
We touched on this briefly earlier. Nationwide, the ratio of Delta to Omicron is 25 to 75, but I have a feeling that in New York City and Miami Beach, it might be much different. Do you have a guess what that ratio of Omicron to Delta is in the Omicron hotspots?
I think it's probably 80-20.
If you're in New York or Miami Beach and you test positive for COVID, does that change your decision on which monoclonal to ask for or to even get it at all?
It does. And I think the thing that could tell, you could sort of tell the difference is the Omicron typically is a sinusitis. And they come in like, you could hear them sound like this, they sound nasal and I have a little sore throat. That's Omicron. When they have high fevers that are persisting, feeling so weak and tired, can't move, that's what I'm thinking. You know what? This sounds like the old bad variant. That's the guy that I'm going to try to figure out how we can get them treatment fast.
Ari, I end each episode with a note of optimism. What do you have for us this week?
The CDC is finally coming through for everybody and lowering the amount of time. People will be back in the workforce. People will be more adherent to masks. And I think it's just, we're 4 to 6 weeks away from being back to normal.
Every college kid's been on vacation and everyone's dispersed. And now we're going back to work together. Do you think the return of kids to school and employees back to work will cause a surge in COVID cases in the next couple of weeks?
I think the timing was brilliant. I mean, to put this 5-day period, it's going to get through. It's just a reality. We're going to have to sort of deal with it. So I think now also people, because it's 5 days, and I think people understand the risks more. And they're more appreciative, and they're going to wear the mask. They're going to be more careful. They're going to do things outside. They're going to make more of a conscious effort. The key is that even if you go back to society, you should just be happy that you're back, but wear the mask and be cognizant of other people. That's the key. If everybody does that, even though the mask question whether or not it's even efficacious, if you have COVID, I would recommend wearing 2 masks during that time, you know, around other people, just so you don't spread it.
2 weeks ago, when Omicron was on the rise, the CDC decided to stop providing hospitals with Regeneron because it didn't work in the lab. The CDC reversed itself, but many people are sick with Delta, where Regeneron is very effective and patients can't get it. What do you make of this public health error?
There are people that unfortunately are going to pass away for the lesson that we're going to all learn.
Ari Cement, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.